And the last transcription, if you had listened to it, and if you have not, we are asking you to go back after this episode to listen to it. We talk about judgment, who is qualified to make judgment, and how we can make judgment. We are admonished to log out before we can take a peek into our neighbors. Meaning the logging out is not the digital logging out. We're just some needs to even digitally log out, as I said, so they can have television. We're talking about removing the log in your eye before you can see the speck, before you are qualified to talk about the speck in somebody's eyes. And we raised two points why we believe in that. The first point was about the painful process of removing the log. So when the person that wants to pass judgment has to undergo that pain, you will be able to show compassion. I think to generally flow compassion and empathy when you want to remove the speck. And again, we talked about the clarity of perspective. By removing the log, you are hoping to see from all sides, from all fields of vision. They are not being concluded, not being blinded by any side. So we are going to continue from verse 27 of the fourth chapter of the book of John as we go further and go where this discussion leads us.
Okay, now viewers, welcome again to this another great episode of this Bucket Ministry series. Join us as we begin to glean into the gospel implication of the discourse between this woman and Jesus. Now, quickly, we can carry on today from the 28th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of John. Can you read, please?
The woman then left her water pot,
okay,
went away to the city, okay, and said to the men.
Now, well, the thing is, if you look at that 28th verse, it did actually highlight the fact that as a result of the encounter of the woman with Jesus, he said there was a den. There was something that happened because of that encounter. And we're going to look at that quickly. Now, before we make some connections between the activity of this woman in the 28th verse of this fourth chapter of the book of John, I wanted to understand the backdrop that Jesus himself, right at the beginning of the conversation with this woman, began to make reference to the natural environment, or I've said the natural activity of this woman. In fact, at a point, the woman almost got confused, thinking that the focus of the conversation with Jesus was about the well as he came to draw from. It was about the water, about the container with which she came to what? To draw. She thought it was all about that. But Jesus, of course, was pointing to deep things of the spirit. Jesus was pointing to things about our life, about our thirst, about our desire, about our worship. We've addressed all these things in previous episodes. But you see, Jesus was talking about things about worship. She thought it was all about what? Water. And Jesus always does this. You know, if you look at the gospel, you see him making reference to earthly things to explain spiritual principles. We call it parable. So Christ always does this kind of thing with, you know, people in the gospel. It's not a new thing. So in this case, coming back to 28th verse of this fourth chapter, what we see this woman did in this place was she dropped a water pot. Now, what is important to us is we never had any place in the discussion with Jesus where Jesus advised that you have to what? Drop the water pot. There was no instruction. There was no information. It was a result of the encounter. He says, then the woman left. Can you see? Then she left our water pot. The encounter she had with Christ resulted in a decision that she made as a result of that encounter. And if you notice one thing, if you notice, she did say to Jesus, previous verses before this activity, she said to Jesus, give me this water to drink so I will not have to come and draw again from this well. But have you noticed that in this case, it wasn't a matter of she stopping to come and draw from the well. It was a matter of she dropping the channel, the container, the means by which you draw from what? From the well. And you see, this activity that she did by dropping the water pot reveals to you and I the very core of the gospel. That the gospel is not about stopping you from coming to draw, from those, you know, coming to quench your thirst, or all that thing that people talk about religion, that they think religion is about character reformation, to say, well, you know what, if you want to follow Jesus, these are the things you need to stop doing. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to stop coming to the well to draw what? water. To you have to stop trying to satisfy your thirst with this and that. That's the way you can follow Jesus. Well, the gospel is deeper than that. What the gospel is focused on doing is shattering and destroying the very core, the center, the container, the real things deep down in your soul that makes you long for other things other than God and His grace. So in this case, we see the woman. She didn't just say, you know what, Jesus, I will stop coming to draw from that well. She left the water pot. She dropped the water pot. The very source. So the gospel is not just about reforming and making you better. What the gospel does is it goes to the root, the core of the life of a man, and removes the heart of stone and puts the heart of flesh. What the gospel does, it goes to the core and the center of a man's life and removes the deadness of the flesh and puts the newness of the spirit right in there. That's what we see. That the fact that she dropped, it's the dropping of the water pot is a parable. The dropping of the water pot is an illustration. The dropping of the water pot is an idea. The origin, the source, the core of our last being touched by the encounter she had with Jesus.
Good to note this, because today we see people trying to be a Christian. I don't like place Christian this. I never have that. Say, what we matter to the way the people, to the people, is the kind of better who don't want to give up the benefit, the supposed benefit of that kind of lifestyle. So with the new things, so how can we do the two together without not being offensive? So we are looking for steps, we are looking for modifications. So people go about with modifications. So if we're trying to present the gospel with modifications that the people can understand. It's not threatening and it's accommodating. Without losing both words, because people want to gain both words. But we saw that the gospel is revolutionary. It's just like he's jealous that he's not accommodating. That's the word to say.
In this case,
to drop the water pot.
The pot, the container that draws those things.
And the thing we need to look at about that is the water pot is not like it's easier for people to drop what is not useful or what is not working. It's so easy to convince someone to drop something and say, oh, it's not even working. It's leaking. Maybe the water pot is broken. So, yeah, it's easy to drop it. But we are talking about the functional one. The one that was the woman got there that afternoon to draw water. So the water pot was serving. And it's in its still useful stage. But this encounter is the one that will force you to drop what is working. So it's a call to drop what is working. So we might be deriving benefit from something that's working in our life, but the admitting the gospel of our Lord into our lives makes us drop that which is even working, that which is giving things out.
Now let's say this. Let's relate this to the core of the gospel. You know, talking about the epistles and all those things where the gospel is explained. That simply means if you are in Christ, an encounter with the Lord Jesus doesn't just end up with saying, you know what, it is that you don't go out there to begin to mess around with this or mess around with that. You have to stop doing this and stop doing that. And if you can do that, that means Jesus will accept you. Yeah. What the gospel does, it smashes at the very core of the nature of sin. The water pot, that container in humanity that is the one actually what gulping those water, this drawing the water,
the one
that is actually looking for thirst, the one that is looking for water to quench his thirst, the origin, it goes down to smash it. And that's
what is serving and working for you.
And that's why the scripture tells us that they that are Christ are crucified. Past tense. They're not in the process. They will not do it by and by if they get serious with God. They that are Christ, they that belong to Christ, they have crucified the flesh, which means the core, the thing that actually wants to be sinful, that thing that wants to be independent of God, that thing that is looking for things to satisfy it, that thing within, that nature of sin, that nature, that body of sin. He said, they that are Christ, they are not in the process of it. They have crucified. crucified the flesh with his affection. So it means in Christ the water pot is broken. The encounter with the Lord in new life, in new birth, breaks the water pot off a man's life. It's not if, by, or but. It's broken off their life. So we saw this woman gave us a demonstration by the activity of her dropping the water pot after the encounter with Christ Jesus. I know you're wondering there, and you're simply saying, does that necessarily mean that if somebody is born again and somebody's in Christ, they will not be looking to have, looking to people, looking to circumstances, looking to things, looking to life to satisfy the urge and the thirst that they have deep within? We didn't say that. But what we are simply saying is the origin and the source of sin, the Mr. Flesh, the condition of sin within that is part of an unbeliever is not part of a believer. David and Christ have crucified the flesh with his affection. In fact, what happened in Galatians, what happened at new birth is illustrated with operation. He said, you having what? He said this, you having the circumcision of the spirit. You know, to circumcise means to cut off the foreskin. It says in new birth, that foreskin, that nature of sin was cut off and disconnected from you. It was taken to the cross and Jesus put it to death. And if you notice in the book, in the Garden of Eden, when God came to Adam, and Adam sinned, and then he was hiding himself among the leaves and all that, and God came and said, who told you that you were naked? There was an entity involved. There was a nature involved. There was a personality involved. And the scripture tells us that in Christ, that personality, that nature of sin, that body of sin was put to death in Christ. The water pot was broken. That container was smashed in Christ Jesus. And I want us to have a look at one or two things before we go on to the next verse, which is verse 29. Let's go to the book of Galatians.
It is imperative that we stress in this, especially in this generation where people are being given flexibility to create your own bundles, you know, choose these, you can select and deselect. And so people want to approach that and bring that to Christianity and bring that to the gospel. And when I talk about Christianity, I hope your audience means I'm not talking in the form of religion. I'm talking what Christianity is, the Christ life.
And encounter with Jesus himself.
So people want to select what they want to listen to.
Invite
this one and they want to select this. People come into package and try to speak it in the language of what the people will understand. So when you're addressing the business, so you know what the part of the scripture that appeals to them, you talk to that. And people want to hear it in their own vocation. What we have been called to is exclusive relationship. That is it. It is an exchange life. It's not an addition.
It's an exchange life.
It's a substitution. You have to drop completely.
Completely.
To pick up.
Thank you for that. It means the gospel will not bring you to a point where you have to then block all the channels to the waters. You know, like saying Jesus could have just said, "Woman, the only way to help you now is that we're going to block all the ways to get, like religion tries to do." You know, say, you know what, don't come to draw from the water again. People still retain the water pot. But what religion tries to do is to block all channels to make sure you don't come to draw what? Water again.
And block the pathway to the well
and say, you know what, make sure that you don't talk to people like this. You see, men and women at times they can separate and sit apart in some cases.
Or they make laws and make it a crime for you to go and draw water.
Exactly.
So it's like enforced.
And enforced and says what and this and that. But people still carry the pot in their hands and they are salivating there's hypocrisy going on for it.
Yes, breeding hypocrisy because people will go sneak in.
Exactly. And carry the pot and try to. But you see, in this woman's case, the very source, the very core, the thing that actually draws this water, broke after the encounter with the Lord Jesus.
It's good to know the non-forceful nature of this encounter, because the woman, out of her own provision, had to leave the water pot. Because today we see people that feel they have to force you into it. They said, "This thing is good for you. This is what the Lord wants for you. This is what the Lord is saying to this congregation. They don't feel like you don't understand it, but we are going to force and make you come into that encounter. So we are going to seize the water pot. So people, I think, we want you to come into this experience and encounter. So we are going to take this off you when you don't understand. You'll be able to show gratitude later on when you understand you come into it. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I could see what you did not. But Jesus, despite that he loved this woman, it made the flexibility, the choice was for her.
So she responded.
Yes.
Like Jesus never mentioned the fact that you have to drop your water pot. Can you see that? There was no such instruction. But she encountered Christ and she dropped. Can you see that? She dropped.
And that is telling us that there is no need for people to manipulate people. It was not suggestive. Because today we see so many doctrines and then we see the enforcement with subtle manipulation. People being suggested to do things that it does not come out of the understanding. No matter how we are so passionate about getting the message across, that we have to follow in the footstep of Jesus our Lord and see that there's no need to manipulate people. There's no need to suggest and enforce people, and trust the leading of the Lord and the workings of the Lord to make people to come into this understanding themselves. And out of their own religion, they are able to drop.
It means if people understand the Christ they met, if people understand the encounter with the Lord, if people receive the word of God, automatically some things begin to drop because they have come into an experience of Christ through the gospel. And that is the responsibility of a minister of the gospel, to bring the word. You see, Christ brought the word to this woman. He spoke to this woman. He didn't talk or say anything about the pot. And she just dropped it.
And it is the responsibility of the minister, those who brings the word, that they will not be tempted to do extra. That's the thing. To put their own energy of the flesh and see that what else could I do? You can't be more passionate than Jesus who is going on the cross for this woman. You just have to resist the temptation.
Now, I think there's something we need to have a look at quickly in this. Can you please read from Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16, please? And let's see what the word Galatians 5:16. Galatians chapter 5 from the 16th verse. What does it say, please? That will give us another insight into this.
I said, walk in the spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish.
Let's go to 27 verse. Yes, chapter 5 from the book
of
Galatians.
But the fruit of the spirit is love.
Now, go on, please.
Joy.
Peace.
Long suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such there is no law.
Now watch that. This is very, very important. It says the fruit of the spirit. Now I know some of you might have heard the fruit of the spirit. You know, people sing songs about this, people talk about this and all that. But have we taken time to meditate and think about that phrase, the fruit of the spirit? Now, the first thing he talks about is that he says, when it comes to the work of the spirit in the life of a person, he said it is a fruit. Now, think about this, a fruit. Now, you know, when it comes to things in life, people can cheat on different kind of things. I mean, people cheat on exams. Some people even, we talk about overnight success, where people can play the system, or some people can hit a jackpot, or things happen overnight, something, and people call it miraculous, some call it unacceptable, but things can happen overnight in many cases, in some cases or in some circumstances. But when it comes to planting a seed to grow and give you a fruit, there seems to be no way to short-circuit the system, that when the seed is planted in the ground, it must need go through what? The process of germination to produce a tree and produce a flower and produce fruit. So the scripture tells us that the work of the Spirit in the life of a believer, what it does, it produces what?
Fruit.
So it means, it tells us that botanically speaking, when the seed is in the ground, it is inevitable that it will produce, it will release, it will generate, it will do its work. But the most important thing is that the seed is planted in what? In the ground. It will always produce. That's why you were talking about the fact that there's no need to put pressure
on people.
This, all you have to do is trust the fact that the seed is planted. That's why the Lord Jesus in the parable, in the gospel, when he says, when he was talking about this, the sower sowing the seed on different types of what? Grounds. When Jesus was going to give an interpretation, he said the seed is what? The word of God. We have to come to the point where we trust the inevitability of the fact that once the seed is planted, it will produce. I use the word it will produce. You have to trust the fact that the seed will always produce. 1 Peter 1:18-19 talks about the fact that the seed, the word of God is what? Is the incorruptible word. Incorruptible seed. They say you are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides what? So I think the problem is the impatience of people to say, now we planted the seed. We know somebody's born again. We know the water pot is broken. We know the source, the origin of sin has been taken away and the Holy Spirit has taken root, but we can't seem to see what? The fruits, and we get tempted to begin to employ what? Different means and strategies. And that's what we see there. That the main thing is to have the seed of God planted in a man's heart to take root and evict the nature of sin in the life of that man.
And I want to think that most of them, maybe they get tempted away. I'm talking of ministers or people that preach, and not remembering or forgetting that the word of God is the seed. And people are relying on the energy of the flesh and maybe their eloquence, their gift. And people have been drawn to it. People have talked about it to the star of it and forgotten completely that beyond all this, the packaging, there is this, the word of God is the seed, and on itself, it has inherent ability to produce and germinate.
But it takes patience, isn't it?
Yes, and to not trust. And not trust the way our delivery, and not trust how the way people are believing to those. Into the packaging, into the delivery, the way with the eloquence. And so I've forgotten that the word is a seed.
It's a seed.
And on its own, without anything, it will produce.
All it needs is to give it the right environment for it to produce. That, you see, for example, if you are listening to this today, you're watching this transmission today, we are not claiming we have the magic wand to cause an overall transformation in your life, or to help you break through the limitations that the world might be placing on you, or to help you become the best you can be by because of what we say. What we are simply claiming by the word of God is we are only given the seed of the word of God that is planted in your heart. The environment, nourishing. That's what teaching does. It helps you to nourish. It helps you, encourages them. But the seed by itself has the capacity. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how far. It doesn't matter the limitations. In fact, in our own house, we've had an instance where a tree began to grow and began to break through walls, even breaking down walls and all that, until we had to deal with that. It tells you and I that the seed is very stubborn. It will grow and it will break through limitations. But it takes what? Patience. To understand that the word of God, Christ in you, is a seed, and inevitably it will find an outlet for growth. So all you have to do is just what? Encourage it and give it the right environment. So you're listening to the word of God, your prayer life, your communion with other Christians, you're going to fellowship. All these things are just to grant an enabling what? Environment for the seed itself to grow. So what this woman understood in the 28th verse of John chapter 4 is that she got to the point of saying, understand that it's about the root. It's about the core, the depth of it. So she broke what? The water pot, because something else, Christ has come to take root where she is. And you know, one thing about growth, I mean, whether botanical growth or growth in most cases, when children are growing, you know, it's very hard to simply say, I can observe the tree growing now. I can see that seed has germinated, and I can see now, oh, I can see it's coming up, it's coming up. I don't think anyone can actually say that without confidence. In fact, in some of the geographical videos that you, botanical videos that people watch and all that, most times they are time-lapse video. You know, time-lapse videos can show you how the thing is what growing, because they've taken those shots over a long time and then they compress the video or the picture so that you can see how it's growing. But I mean, without even making in that kind of situation, just by natural observation, you don't seem to see the growth right in your very eyes. Yet it's what? It's growing. So we're simply saying this to you today. Look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, patience, all these things that are in the Word of God. You have to understand that the Word of God in you, Christ in you, is producing, will produce all these things, but you have to have the confidence, you have to have the faith in the fact that the Word of God in you is a seed, and a seed will inevitably grow, even though it might not be at the pace or at the speed that you desire, but it will definitely grow. That's why the Word of God goes into our hearts at new birth. It breaks the water pot. The Word of God, Christ himself, is the seed that is planted in the heart of man. So it doesn't go for the peripheral or the superficial. It goes right down into our heart because he knows that is what matters. So this woman broke the water pot. It was not a matter of stopping her from coming to draw water. It wasn't a matter of saying, go and draw from somewhere. I mean, it was about the water pot, the source, the origin. And that's what the Word of God deals with in our hearts.
As the Word of God is going forth, we're trusting the Lord that is going to free us from all this external pressure. The external pressure to, for those people who minister the Word of God, the external pressure to appear in a particular way so that the message can be this. To style, to present, to talk in a particular way, all this external pressure that comes to people, and when they are waiting during the time of germination, so during the time of growth, they become bitter because they are putting so much of their own physical flesh, of their own physical energy, of their own, of the things that they have trained themselves for, or they have invested beyond investing in the prayer and in the word, because you are to labor in God's word, labor in word, and show yourself, study to show yourself approved. But we see some other external things that people have had to do because they thought that the word of God needed much of all this. And so when you don't see the desirable results, you begin to see bitterness coming in. So all this pressure, we are trusting the Lord as this word is going forth, is relieving us of all those pressures, to understand that the word of God is a seed in itself, and it has inherent ability of trusting, inherent ability to deliver, to produce.
Thank you for that. Now, that's a very important thing to say. Now, can you just read that Galatians 5, if you can read verse 24 and verse 25, please.
24?
Yes, please.
And those who are Christ,
okay,
have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire.
Okay.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Come on, please.
Let us not become conceited. Provoking one another.
Okay.
Envying one another.
And so it simply says, in fact, a particular translation says, if we have our life by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the awareness of a scripture like Galatians 5, verse 25, is simply saying, it doesn't matter how much growth is happening in your life. It doesn't matter how much progress you are making the things of the Spirit. It doesn't make you any more to live in the Spirit. I'll say that again. It says we live by what? The Spirit. Let us also what? Walk by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is only a possibility because you already have your life in the Spirit. So your walking in the Spirit doesn't make you have your life in the Spirit. Because you have your life in the Spirit, that's why you can walk in the Spirit. And I think that understanding is so important. Just because you're having more joy, you're having, you're able to suffer long just because you're making progress with your endurance, or just because you are becoming more selfless, you're becoming more loving, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't in any way prove that now you are living by what? The Spirit. No. Galatians 5:25 says, if we have our life by the Spirit, right at the point where the water pot broke, right at the point where the seed of the Word of God is what planted in your heart, right at the point where Christ has become your Savior and your Lord, right at that point, you have your life in the Spirit. Now your life is no more in the flesh. Your life is no more in things. Your life is no more in people. Your life is no more in money. Your life is no more in friends. Your life at that point is no more in your race. Your life at that point is no more in your skin color. Your life at that point is no more in human acceptance or human rejection. Your life at that point is not based on your location, where you live. Your life at that point is not based on your socioeconomic status. Your life at that point is in the Spirit at that point. And like you said, you then have to trust and believe and be persuaded that the seed of the Word of God is already there. Yes, at that point, don't let you're struggling with an addiction, or you're struggling with something that is limiting you, or a contention, a problem, something that you thought I was free of this particular thing, has come back again. And you say, oh my God, does it then mean that all this is just wasted effort? No. Don't let the enemy deceive you. You already have your life in the Spirit. That's what we have come to say to you today, that the woman in John 4:28 did not say to Jesus, I will make so much effort not to come to the water again, not to come to draw. No, the point she demonstrated was, at this point, at this stage, an encounter with Christ means the water pot is what? Broken. Before we even talk about whether I come back to draw water or not, the water pot is broken. The container of sin is broken. The source of sin is broken. The origin of sin, the nature of sin, the body of sin is broken. And that applies to you and I to say, at the point of an encounter with Christ, at the point of repentance and forgiveness of sin, at that point, at that stage, the body of sin is taken away and the nature of Christ is imputed into you at that point. You must then trust and be confident in that reality until that seed begins to what? Grow. Until that seed begins to manifest. Until that seed begins to what? Germinate. And don't forget, in most cases, I think one of the reasons why it gets discouraging is because growth is not easily observable.
Yes.
In fact, most cases, there are people that when I see them after some few months or few years, I say, come on, you've grown so much. And when you say that their parents, it's very hard.
People that live with them or their family, they
scarcely notice the growth. That is why the scripture says the fruit of the Spirit. It means the inwalking of the Holy Ghost in your heart. You might not even observe it. You might not even notice that now you're becoming less irritable than you used to be. You might not even notice that you are becoming more selfless than you used to be. You might not even notice. It might be others that are noticing those things in your life and around your life. But we have come to say to you that the inwalking of the Holy Ghost has been likened to the fruit of the Spirit. And that should tell you that by wisdom, it means it takes patience. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes you to be confident in its ability, because it might not be easily observable, but surely and definitely it is growing in your heart until the perfect day when Christ will show up to take us home. And that's what we're saying.
Yeah, thank you so much for watching today. For want of time, we will not be able to continue, but we just want to encourage us that we should believe in the process. And it's good that you're linking it beyond the ministers to those who receive the word,
mm-hmm.
to believe in the process, that the word itself that they have received,
mm-hmm.
it has inherent ability to produce mm-hmm. those fruits. Mm. Even when they feel like they have seen it or they have not seen it, or mm. people have seen it or not, but it is growing inside of them.
The fruit,
and they have to stay true to it, because
you cannot imagine
somebody who planted something and it's coming to check every day, and uproot it,
mm.
and say, let me see, is he actually growing?
Mm.
He has to believe that this word has an inherent ability in itself
mm.
to produce
mm.
and to manifest. So we'll see you next time. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk